Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the mistakes that people make when they read the parable of the sower is to think that Jesus, when he's talking about the seed that falls on the pathway and the seed that falls upon the rocky ground and the seed that falls upon among the thorns, that somehow he's talking about those people out there someplace. Not really talking about us, because we are members of a church, therefore we are the good ground. No, not so fast. Jesus is speaking this word to all of us. And that even among those who want to be considered Christians, those who appear among the holy children of God, even among the saints, in their midst, there are those who are faithless and hard-hearted. There are those who are shallow in faith and soon offended. And there are those who are caught up in worldly concerns so that they never get anywhere spiritually. And there are also among us those who are good ground, who receive and keep the word of God and bring forth fruit. And the purpose of this text today is to warn us so that we may examine ourselves to see if there is any sign of a hard-hearted unbelief in us, or if there is any shallowness in our spiritual joy, or if we are so caught up in the world and its concerns that we become fruitless, weak, and beggarly people instead of sound, strong Christians. And that we should pray, God, make my heart good soil in which the seed of thy word can produce fruit enduringly until you receive me into heaven. So let's take a look with an eye upon ourselves this morning. All right? Let's take a look at the four different kinds of field. First, the sower, because he is interested, Jesus Christ is interested in the salvation of everywhere. Everyone, everywhere. Therefore, his word is sown in the world with extravagance. He's not stingy with his seed. Now, sometimes some of that seed falls along the pathway and it gets trodden down underfoot, and the birds of the air come and devour it and take it away. And when Jesus explains this parable, he says, these are those which have heard the word, but they don't understand it, and the devil comes and takes away what they've heard so that there is no faith. What's he talking about here? He's talking about the gospel, the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. And he's saying that some people, even among the visible church of God, even among those who use the sacraments, even among those who profess to be Christians, there are among them people who never get it. They never understand it. They hear it, But it's like it goes in one ear and out the other. And after 50 years of church growing, they're still as unbelieving, hard-hearted, and dumb as they were when they began it. Because there is in them a hardness of heart which will not receive the gospel, but always seems to turn the Christian religion into a set of rules and regulations. You know, religion is good for people. You know, the politicians love to say this, right? Religion is good for people. It helps them to be good. It helps them to be good law-abiding citizens. Well, yeah, it does that. But Jesus did not die on the cross simply to make you a good law-abiding sheep. All right? That's not the purpose for which Jesus came into the world. It's one of the things that happens when you have true saving faith. You will be a faithful citizen. You will be conscientious. You will be law-abiding. But Jesus didn't come into the world to make you a law-abiding citizen alone. He came into the world to do something that you cannot do for yourself, and that is to save your soul. And the only way that your soul will ever be saved is if you come in faith to Jesus Christ, who is the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, to come to Jesus and receive from Him the forgiveness of sins, pardon, peace, and life everlasting, which He freely gives in the sacrament of baptism, in the preaching of the gospel, in the sacrament of the altar. The free gift of salvation in Christ, given as a gift. People don't want to hear it. They don't get it. They remain obtuse to it. There's the pastor up there again. Blah, 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 Jesus. Blah, 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 Jesus. Blah, 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 grace. Blah, 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 faith. Right? And when you ask them, what do they think about stuff? Well, it's all about, you know, being a good person. I go to church because it helps me be a good person. Well, yeah, it does that. But that's not what it chiefly does. It's meant to kill you. That is, to cause you to die to sin and rise to life in Christ. That's what's supposed to happen. We call it conversion. Jesus called it being born again. St. Paul said, being buried with Christ by baptism into death. So that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we too might walk in newness of life. It's talking about conversion, regeneration, justification, saving faith in Christ. And without that, all of your earthly striving is in vain. And there will be hell to pay. But in Christ, hell is vanquished once and for all by His saving death upon the cross. But you know, there's people, they can hear it, hear it, hear it, hear it, hear it. They never get it. Never sinks in. The birds of the air come and they eat it up and fly away with it. And these people bring forth no fruit. That is, there is no saving faith, even though there's church membership, even though there's an outward profession, there is no inner heart of faith. The second group, these are people who, they when they hear the gospel, they're really joyful about it. This is great. I can't tell you how many times I have seen people come to church here, get all enthusiastic, you know, and they want to sign up on the dotted line, and they want to be part of our fellowship, and they're all excited about it. But 6 months later, they start missing church pretty regularly. Why? Because one day they woke up and they said, oh, it's church. I never really liked church. You know? I thought it was real great, but I mean, it's just church. Yeah, it's just church. It is just the church of the firstborn. It is the saints of God washed in the blood of the Lamb. Those who bear upon them the mark of God's grace, the saving name of Jesus Christ. It's just church, right? It's just church. Listen, listen. Just church, when it is properly understood, is something awesome. Right? But, you know, so they start getting a little bit bored, you know, and they've heard about 10 sermons, so they feel like theologians now. All right? They feel like theologians because they've heard maybe 10 sermons and they got it all. I've heard everything that guy has to say. Right? So then they start getting blasé. And then the next thing you know, some kind of trouble comes up. They dare to peep or squeak a little word of witness at work. They dare to tell someone in their family that they need to repent and believe the gospel. And the heat of the world's wrath comes down upon them. Because, you know, the world is happy to let you be a Christian as long as you shut up and stay behind closed doors. They're happy to let you go to church as long as what you do in church never, oops, spills out into real life. And so, when a little bit of a witness to the Word of God and the Gospel is given, when it is known that such and such a person confesses to be a Christian, all of a sudden the world and the devil growl and let their displeasure be known. How dare this person think? You know, I think of all these modern news, these news media people, who all probably went to Sunday school and confirmation class, you know? These kids that grow up and become rank unbelievers, right? They are baptized, they are filled with the Holy Ghost, they are taught the Word of God, and they fall away from it, and they lose their faith, and they end up being twice dead, right? Born dead, born again, and lost it through unbelief, all right? But, you know, they are the ones who act like they've never heard it before. You Christians really believe that salvation only comes through faith in Christ? I never heard anything like that before. Why, that's rather judgmental, they say. You know, who heard this a million times in confirmation class, a million times in Sunday school, but now it's like total news, right? Judgment Day is going to be a shocking revelation to the wicked because they will realize the extent to which they blinded themselves willfully against the Word of God when it came to them countless times. So anyway, here's these people and they peep and they squeak a little bit of a confession of faith and the world shows its wrath. And they say, oh, never mind this. I'm done with being a Christian. This is too hard. You know, persecution arises and they deny Christ. They deny the Word of God. They start calling their fellow Christians Bible bashers and Bible thumpers. Oh, I'm not one of those. There's a YouTube video about these weak-kneed little measly Christians. And they say, I'm a Christian, but I don't this. And I'm a Christian, but I don't that. What they're basically saying is, I don't really believe in Jesus Christ at all. Because I think I do, but I reject God's word every time it disagrees with the world. Those are they who, they are like rocky soil. They want to be considered Christians. They think that they're Christians. But they have underneath this shallow enthusiasm, they have a heart of rock. And then the third group, let's move on to the third group. And there's a lot of these. This is big. These are people They're baptized. They're catechized. They're church-going people. But they got one foot in the world and one foot in God's kingdom. And they don't know which one is the dominant foot. And so they live worldly lives that make no impact for Jesus Christ among their neighbors and friends. And they never grow in faith and wisdom and knowledge because they are more worldly than they are believing. Right? The cares of this life, the pleasures of this life, the love of the world. St. James tells us that friendship with the world is enmity with God. If you want to be a friend to the world, you will become God's enemy. St. John tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So we are talking here about the will of God, which says that we should not love the world. Now, what is it not talking about? It's not talking about that we have a death wish. It's not talking about that we should be belligerent Cretans. It doesn't mean that we should not enjoy the nice things of life. It's talking about the world in its unbelief and opposition to the gospel. And it says, we must not love that. We must not seek to be compromised with the world, to be a friend of the world, to love the world in the sense that the world is the arena of unbelief and rejection of the gospel. Rather, our love, our loyalty, and our friendship is all in Jesus Christ. But here are people who, they want to be Christians. They want to be considered among the faithful. And yet, they are more worldly and unbelieving than they are believing. And so we today are given the opportunity by Christ in this warning to examine our hearts. Is there any hardness of heart in us against God's word? Is there any worldliness in us that keeps us from growing in the grace of God? And then we are invited to pray and say, oh dear God, in Jesus Christ our Lord, make my heart good soil so that when I hear the word of God, I will keep it and be fruitful in it. Let's look at that for a second. That on the good ground is they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. These people are good ground, not because they in themselves have made themselves good ground, but because in hearing the word of God, they have understood it and believed it and been transformed by it, so that now the word of God can do its work in their heart. It says, having heard the word, they keep it and bring forth fruit. The fourth group here, they were not good soil by nature, but they were made good soil by grace. The Holy Ghost came to them in the gospel and regenerated them, renewed them, caused them to become born again, so that what was bad soil, rocky soil, path soil, now is good cultivatable soil. This is the work of the Holy Ghost through the gospel. Therefore, since the Holy Ghost does this for us through the gospel, we ought to be hearing and keeping the word. To hear it means to enduringly, continuously hear it, and to hold on to and treasure what you have heard. So that in your life, instead of being a fruitless unbeliever, you will be a fruitful disciple of Christ, growing in all the gifts and graces of the Holy Ghost, maintaining your confession of faith through thick and thin, through good days and bad days, so that when you close your eyes in death on your last day, you will open them in the presence of Jesus, who will say to you, "Welcome into the joy of your Lord." Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.